Today's daf is daf pei, and let's begin on the bottom of Ayin Testament Beis. I thought I saw you. So the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Testament Beis says, "Hamoti hotzos al nichse ishto." So a person who has a husband who has now in his rishus the nichse mulug, and he had to put a lot of time and effort and money into the property of his wife, the nichse mulug, which again the nichse mulug she owns. But he gets the payros, so he worked hard on the land because he wanted the more he works, the more payros he's going to get. Subsequent to that, they got divorced. So the halach is hotzi harbe vachel kimeletze. He puts a lot of work into it and time and money. He eats a little bit, or let's say kima. He does a little bit of work vachel harbe, but eats a lot. Mashi hotzi hoti mashi achel achel. Whatever he put in, he put in. He lost whatever he ate. He doesn't have any claims on her after they get divorced. The nichse mulug, since the kinyan guf is hers, it goes back to her. But let's say scenario is hotzi v'lo achal. He puts in a lot of work and it does not produce any peros. Yishbo kama hotzi v'itel. He takes a shvua, how much money, time, and effort, whatever the value is, how much he put in, and he gets paid back all that hotza. Because halach is, again, he gets kinyan peros. That's one of the benefits he has of the nichse mulug. If he never gets benefit from it, he has full rights to claim back the hotza.
From it?
From her. Right. Okay, I guess the idea would be that now it must be. Now, I don't think it's a situation where the land just isn't able to create fruit. It's just they got divorced before it was able to produce it. So she's going to end up benefiting from all the fruit. So she has to now pay him as a worker. She worked his land, then she's going to get the payros. That's how I understand it. I wonder what his situation would be. Let's say they were married for a long time and he put a lot of work in and the land never produced any fruit. Then what would the halacha be? I'm not sure.
That's my question.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. But I think this case is where she's going to be eating the fruit later on. So the Gemara now on the bottom says, V'kama kima, what's considered a little bit? What is, once he eats a little bit of food, he's already, he's not allowed to claim any hotza anymore after they get divorced. So how much is kima? Amarabiyasi afilu grogeres achas v'hu she'achla derech kavod. Even if grogeres achas, grogeres is what, a fig, a dried fig?
Yep.
Okay, so a dried fig. And it has to be a type of eating that he ate derech kavod. So derech kavod, on the side here tells me that Shitu Mekubetzes describes this as being, he eats it b'derech kavis on a table, and not walking the Rishis Rabbim, and not like trying to hide out, but like a mensch, sitting on a table like a mensch. But if he was eating on the way, or a snack while he's walking through the shuk, some of this fruit, that does not qualify as eating kima. The one on the top of Peyamun Aleph now says, Rebbe Abba Amri Beirav Afilu Shigra de Tamr. Even a Shigra de Tamr, which Rashi tells us, there's a long Rashi, we'll just read the first pshat, in the top line, Rebbe Abba Amar Afilu Shigra de Tamr, Tamarim Niduchim, dates that have been crushed, Yachat, together, and when dates are very sticky, it's like honey, when you crush them together, they stick, and Kederach Shedursin Teinim, Yachat Litrios, Litrios, just like they would also, you know, smash figs together, and they would stick, they would call Litrios, the Gemara Be'ah says, in other places, this is also Af Elu Kein Mikre Shigra, so when you smash dates together, it's called the Shigra. So if he eats that, which I don't know how much, probably just one date maybe, smashed, that would qualify as eating kima. So Rashi, as I say, goes on to explain another definition. There's a Tosos here also, but this will suffice. Boy, Rav Bibi, chuvta de tamri mai. What about a chuvta de tamri? What's a chuvta de tamri? If you look at Rashi a little bit further down now, eight lines down or so, narrow lines, chuvta de tamri, la'achar she'asa behen sheikhar. After you've made beer from these dates, remember their main form of beer came from dates, date beer. So after they made the beer from the dates, v'nishar hapsolos, and the leftover dates, the skin was left over, inami niduchin harbe kidei lasos mehen shechar, or they squeezed it, pressed a lot in order to make it shechar, whatever food was left over after squeezing out the liquid, after squeezing out the beer, that's called chuv sudatamri. So does that qualify, if he eats a little bit of chuv sudatamri, does that qualify as eating from the nichse malug? The Gemara says teku, they don't know the answer to that. Let's say lo achla derech kavod, they didn't eat derech kavod, so my, what's halacha? Rashi just tells us, kama hu achila. So when we say derech, eating akima and derech kavod, it doesn't mean it has to be derech kavod. Just if a person eats derech kavod, so you only need to eat one fig or one day, that's considered enough. But if he's walking in the street in the shuk, then if he eats more than that, then he's also going to be considered eating from the nichse mulug. So how much do you have to eat in the situation where he's eating as he walks through the shuk? Amarula pliga ba tre amarai. There are two amarim who argue what this shear is. Bimarava chad amar two amarim bimarava. In the West, in Eretz Yisrael, two amarim argued. Chad amar bikihisar, chad amar bichadinar. Different size coins. So Rashi, I thought size coins. Rashi actually says here, "Bekiisar shava iser." He's talking about the value of an iser. Iser is a type of coin. How, if it costs an iser versus costing a dinar, I thought it may have been the size of the coin, but it turns out I'm wrong. I wonder if others have that definition. No. Okay. So it seems that everyone would agree that it has to be the value of an iser, value of a dinar. Which is interesting because we're using different terms. Because before the shear by Derech Kavo, the first case that came out was about how much volume you ate. Now we're talking about how much value. It's very possible that depending on the market, a one date in theory could be a dinar, could be an iser, and there may not be much of a difference. But
you said before Derech Kavo, based on the Farshi one, that it's in the table, not in the...
Right.
In
the shuk, or...
Yeah, so... Now you said that before the Kavod was, here it's based on value, not based on volume.
Right.
Where the value came from.
Yeah, that's why I don't know. The Gemara says that because dinar and iser are
it's
coins.
Value.
They're exactly.
Fine. Where the value came from.
The
value.
The volume.
Yeah.
That was when we said that how much a fig, one fig or one date is enough.
But it's connected to the Kavod.
No, that's fine, but it's possible.
So now we said based on the value.
No, no. We know we said before, if you're eating derech kavod on the shulchan, then one fig is enough. If you're eating in the shuk, then you need to have the amount of value of an isar or a dinar.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering, it's possible in theory, I don't know actual values of a dinar and isar, but it's possible that one fig could be as equal, even more, than a value of a dinar. So I'm saying they're different measurements, so they're not really comparable. So that's why initially I thought, to be consistent, the dinar kisar is also a measurement in volume. Which would, I guess, be bigger than a date. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know how big their coins were. I don't know how big their dates were. Okay. The Gemara then says...
Probably they're worth a lot of money today if you'll find one.
Would it?
The dinar
would be. Well, if it was made of gold, it would be. if it was just...
No, it's like antique.
Uh-huh. But no one buys and sells them. Museums, maybe. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amri Daini de Pumbedisa, the judges of Pumbedisa, Ovid, Rav Yehuda, Uvda, let's see, is that part of that? Yeah, they said the following, that Avid Rav Yehuda Uvda b'chavilei zemuros. There was a ma'aseh shehaya that Rav Yehuda had paskin neshayla based on chavilei zemuros. Chavilei zemuros, any gemaras come to mind?
We learned it. The mai umpeya. No, the mai. Do we have the concept? It's chavilei tolson.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the gemara in Kedushin about the elephants.
The Shabbos has that.
Shabbos?
Bundles of grapevines are food for elephants.
Food for elephants, right. So the Gemara Kedushin, I was thinking also, how you do a kinyan on elephants. So they say, Rashi is you have to do hagbah. How you do hagbah on an elephant? So the Gemara says, Rashi's interpretation is, you lie down, chavilei zemuros, and it stands on top of them. And Tosos, there's a famous Tosos says, no, you hang them up and they jump up to catch the chavilei zemuros. And that's what all the zoologists say, elephants don't jump. But anyway, so it comes up there in the Gemara Kedushin, apparently the Gemara in Shabbos. So anyway, so he had a whole Maisa Shehaya b'chavilei zemuros. So Rashi says, Avid Rav Yehuda Uvda, d'choshva achila b'chavilei zemuros. Even chavilei zemuros is considered eating. Shein Michael lepilin, their animal, their food for elephants. V'ha'echel mehem ha'ba'al levehemto. And he fed them to his animal, then he was divorced, or he divorced his wife. So this case, he didn't even eat them himself. He fed them to his elephants. So I guess this Rashi is probably quoting a Gemara in Shabbos, like you had said. Yeah, Shabbos Kuf Chav Ches. So here, he fed the, he didn't even eat the food. He gave it to his elephant. And that's considered an achila, and when they get divorced, he has no claim of his hotzos, of all the effort he put in. So Rav Yehuda Latameh, he goes according to his reasoning in general. Damru Rav Yehuda Achla Arla. If a person eats arla, arla is the fruit the first 3 years we can't eat. It's an iser arla. Or if he eats shavis, which is this year, the kalayim, hareza chazaka. Now, eating kalayim is not a problem, though. It's only if you make kalayim. Is Rashi saying anything here? Ah, there we go. See Rashi achla? Rashi achla lokeach shnei arla. She'ein hanasan ella. So we're talking about a case of chazaka. If I, let's say, buy Adam's land, he sells me his land, his farm. So I have the shart to prove ownership. If 3 years pass, so if I have proof of Adam that I ate on his land for 3 years, then I've created a chazaka. I don't need to keep the shtar anymore. The chazaka substitutes for the shtar. So the typical case is if I eat 3 years mamash from the fruit. Let's say the 3 years consisted of either arla. First 3 years, he had trees, but they're all new fruit, new apple trees. I couldn't eat from them. So I ate from the arla. We'll see what Rashi means. Or I had 3 years of shvius. Well, one of the 3 years of shvius. And or there was 3 years of kalayim. So Rashi explains, Achla, lokeach shnei arla, I bought from Adam the years of arla, the first 3 years of the fruit trees. I couldn't eat from them. She'ein hanasan ela bizmoris shepri aser bahana. I have no benefit from the fruit, but I can benefit from the branches that I can get during the first 3 years. Oh, shviyah shu hefker, or one of the 3 years was shviyah, which I can't eat anything. It was completely hefker. Everyone came into my field. Oh, shazar kalayim vazmoris lo nesu. Or I had planted kalayim, you can't plant kalayim though. I'm not sure the case here. That there were kalayim planted, maybe that were kalayim they bought from a guy.
Azmurot, meaning hearing sound that you allowed to plant kalayim but not to eat it, but you eat the zmurot.
No, you're allowed to eat kalayim, you can't plant the kalayim.
So it sounds the opposite from here.
Let's see. It says climb is aser b'hana. Ah, it's talking about the climb of Geffen and Chita in particular. Chita, Geffen and Chita, those in particular, there's an aser hana. It says pen tikdash, I think the pasuk says.
And you can lose away.
That you can, though. It must be a case where it was planted already. It was ready, the way it says here, netuya kvar. It was already planted with climb. So I couldn't benefit from any of the fruit. So how are you able to get a chazaka? I can't eat the fruit, it's arla. I can't eat the fruit because it's shvius. I can't eat the fruit because it's kalayim, of chita and geffen in particular. So how do you create chazaka? So Rashi explains, through the using of the zmoros, the branches and stuff, which I'm giving to my animals, that qualifies for me using the land for 3 years, which could create a chazaka for me. I don't need to hold on to the shtar anymore. So we see that Rabbi Huda's Lashitaso, that he says feeding an animal's zmoros is considered an achila by chazaka. So too it's considered achila for purposes of making a taina or not making a taina from his wife after divorcing her. The Gemara says, now Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Chista, Hamotzi Hotzas al Nichse Ishto Kitana. Let's say he gets married to a girl who's underage. And Rashi points out particularly, Isha Katana Yisoma, she lost her father, Shehisiyasa Ima Vachav Yichola Lemayim. So her mother and brothers married her off, she could always opt out through Mian. So in such a situation, so he puts a lie, he marries this girl, this Katana, he works hard on her land, the Nichse Melug that she brings in. So the Gemara compares this to Kimotzi al Nichse Acher Dami. It's no different than putting effort into somebody else's property, which the halacha is, says Rashi, Shemotzi al Nichse Acher. If she opts out of this marriage, bo shamin lo shvach she shviach vonota kemishpat arisei hamedina, that he would get any of the increase in value that happened to that land, he would take it as any other kemishpat arisei hamedina, like any other case of a sharecropper, somebody working on my land, and I, let's say, kick him out, he gets all the shvach that he put in, or the hotel, the shvach that resulted from his effort. We don't view this as a typical case of a marriage, my time, the Gemara says, of Dibei Rabban Takanta. Why do they make such a Takana here? Ki heyche delo nifsedinu, so he shouldn't have to lose it. Why? So Rashi explains that, ki heyche delo nifsedinu. The reason why by the Katana, it's a different situation, that he gets to keep all the Shvach in this case, even though normally he didn't, by a regular wife, the husband does Hotzah, and he eats a little bit, and then he divorces her, he doesn't get to collect anything else from the land, but by this case of the Katana, he does get to collect after the divorce, or if she opts out, he does get to collect from the Shvach. Why? So explains Rashi, Ki yecha delo lefsedinu, so he doesn't lose it, cause it to go bad. Shelo yachzif v'yikalka ha-karkal, so it shouldn't decrease in value, v'yochal v'lo yashpiach shedoeg shemetamein, to mine. He's going to say, wait a second, I'm going to work really, really hard, and then one day she's going to wake up and just opt out of the marriage. All my efforts went for nothing. I get nothing out. And unless I don't eat anything from the land, but I'm eating something. So I'm going to just eat the fruit, and I'm going to just let it work on its own and see, let nature take its course. But now, since the Chacham said, you know, you who are the husband of this Ketana, you have the din of the Aris, of a sharecropper. And you are going to get any value, if she opts out, you will collect the value of that land that you had increased, so he's no longer going to let it just sit and go bad, he's going to work on it hard. In order to preserve that karka. Because if he doesn't, just lets it sit, because he knows he's not getting anything at the end of the day, the Ketana is going to be left with the land that's terrible, that's not worked on. So the Gemara now says the two dots. Tahi isusa. There's once a woman the nafala arba meazuzim. She had a yerusha. Well, I feel like we're very behind today. Six. Oh, not so bad. Tahi isusa the nafala arba meazuzim. There was a woman who had had received the yerusha of 400 zuz bechazai in this place called bechazai. Ozil gavra, a man went out. Opik sheis mea. I think he put it took 600. Zuz to go tell her, I think, to go find her. Yeah, see Rashi v'chozai shem makom v'haya rachok kaman. It was very, very far. V'haya mapik aleha sheis mea beholechas. It probably should be beholich. Botzas haderech mishalo. So when he went to tell her about this, or go maybe to bring her the money of 400 zuz, it cost him 600 zuz to get to her. That's what it sounds like. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I see arba mea. So he brought with him the 400 mea. Bahade dekasi itzrich lechad zuze. So when he got there, he needed one more zuz. V'shakim nayon, took it from the pot of money down to 399 now. He needed it for one more to pay for one more boat ride. I don't know. Asa lekami de Rabbi Ami. So he went to Rabbi Ami. I guess he wanted to collect his money back. I guess all the hotza he put in. But this is not the Baal, though. This is just the Stama guy. Let's see. Amalei Masha Hotzi Hotzi Masha.
It was
the Baal, yeah? Ah. So the Gavra is not Stama, it's the Baal. Okay. So Baal is bringing her this money, which is, let's call it Nichse Malug. And then, I guess, they got divorced. So he went to Rabbi Ami and said, look, I put on this effort, 600 zuz, to bring her Nichse Malug. And now give me, and I should get that 600 zuz back from her now. Amalei Masha Hotzi Hotzi Masha Achel Achel. Remember, you took that one zuz out. You should have taken out. You ate something that's considered achilas kima, even though this is not fruit and land, it's money. The same halacha applies. So Amri le Rabbanan le Rabbi Yami, they say to Rabbi Yami, what kind of psak is this? Hani mili hecha de achil peira. That's only when they eat fruit. Ha karna kachil. Ha karna karna kachil. Vehotzahi. So let's see. That's only when they eat fruit.
Like he ate the interest of the money or something, growth. He ate from the actual carrot of the fruit of the...
Aha. Hakarnakachil votsahi. He only ate from the carrot itself, the karka, and they're not comparable cases. Only when he eats fruit is he doesn't get any claim. But here, he ate from the carrot, the nichsim look, the karka, the money was the karka, so then he doesn't deserve it. So imkain, if that's the case, havalei hotzi v'lo achal. Okay, so I guess he agreed to the Rabbanan and said, you're right. It's a situation where he put in a lot of effort and didn't eat anything. He takes a shuva how much he put in, 600 zuz he put in, and he gets that money back.
Does he have to give back the one zuz that he ate from the carrot? Or was he allowed to eat that, not as peiros, but just as the cost of chotza, the cost of...
Right. My guess would he have to give that back also. No. I don't know. I'm not sure what would give him rights to that.
He calls it a hotza. It's a hotza. Like it was something almost like it had a different classification, but it was something that was valid for.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So he collected it early. It was an early collection. She would owe that to him. So he really put in 601 zuz.
Right.
Aha. Uh-huh. So then he would get to keep that then. Okay. The Gemara now says halfway down in the two dots, Yishba kama hotzi v'yitel. So the Mishnah told us that if he put hotza in but didn't eat any fruit, he makes a shvua how much money, time he put in, and he collects it from her after the divorce. So Amar Rabbi Yasi, v'hu sheyesh shvach ki neged hotza. It's only where the karka had gone up in value corresponding to the hotza that was put in. I think that's what's, but if it's more or less, it'd be different. Let's see. L'mayhech, so what exactly does that mean? So Amar Baye Shim Haya Shvach Yaseh Hotza. If the value when the increase is greater than the Hotza, let's say put $10 of effort in it, it increased to $100. So Notel Es Hotza below Shvu. So then he doesn't even have to take a shvuah. He could just collect the money. Because it's clear, I guess, that it went up in value a lot, so he doesn't have to take any shvuah. So Amar Lei, Rava, Imkein, Asal Le'arume, he's going to just play games here. Because let's say it went up in value $100. He'll say, oh, I put an effort of $99. So it's less than the shevach, and he doesn't have to take a shvuah, and he gets the full $99 without having to take a shvuah. So that can't be the klal, says Rava. El Amar Rava, She'im Ha'isa Hotza Yisera Al Shvach, Ein Lo Ela Hotza Shir Shvach Uvishvuah. Let's say he put in more effort than it went up. He put in $100 of work, but the land only increased in $10. So he's going to claim $100. So the wife's going to lose out, the ex-wife's going to lose out a lot, $90. So then, the halacha is, he's only allowed to collect Hotza up until the value, it's plateaued at the value of the Shvach. So he, even though he put $100 in, he was a bad farmer. Since it only went up in $10, he could only collect $10.
The Shvach is considered Peros? Is that the point here?
No, I thought that was how it's the case of Peros. There's no Peros collected here, because otherwise we had no claim. The Shvach tells us how much Hotza is fair for him to claim. It's not fair for him to claim Hotza if he didn't do anything. The guy is a bad worker, he's a bad craftsman, bad farmer. So she loses that because he put so much time and effort in. So I think it's just a matter of fairness.
Shvach isn't considered. Because what about a case where the things produce tons and tons of pears? Tons of pears. But he hasn't collected, he never took, picked a pear, he never picked a fruit off a tree. There's tons of pears. In that case, we're saying he'd be allowed to collect.
Right? Correct.
Because he never took any pears.
Correct.
So when the Gemara is now talking about Shvach, it doesn't really clarify what Shvach is. Is that, that's the, let's say for example, the value of real estate just went up. He didn't make any improvements whatsoever. Was that I would think is Karen. I wouldn't think that's Peros.
Uh-huh.
I think Shvach sounds to me like Peros, like just like he had the ability to collect all the Peros when they were married. Now he has the ability to collect up to all the Peros when they divorced.
I see you're saying the Shevach is the peros that are actually on the land, which he never ate. But you think the value of land, well, you might have to figure out, sometime, I think the Gemara somewhere talks about when a value of land goes up, if it's attributed to the market value overall increasing, so that can't be attributed to his own efforts. But let's say you could somehow know that the value went up because he planted some nice gardens and trees and additional things, even though there's no fruit, that also contribute to the value in Shevach going up as well. So I don't know if it's only fruit, but I guess you're probably right. Fruit would also be part of the Shevach. Any fruit that he doesn't eat, that is.
Maybe there's infrastructure, like irrigation or
right.
Roads for tractors to go.
Right.
So it's that's increased. So he increased, in that case, he increases the Karen. And if he were to be married, remain married, he would never be able to participate in that because he never ate in the Peros. He gets to participate in the increase in the Karen. Right.
Well, I mean, when he works the land, we're assuming they don't have the plan of getting divorced. So by him bettering the land with tractors and paths and fences, that's increasing his own fruit also. Mm-hmm. So he's doing it for himself, really. But in the event of the divorce, so he doesn't get direct benefits from those. And okay, the Gemara now asks, Ibailu, Bao shehorid arisin tacht of mahu. So let's say that Baal himself doesn't go down to work the land. He doesn't go down to eat the land. He sends a sharecropper down, a worker for him, and the way it works, different types of sharecroppers, but typically they would go down to the property, and he says, listen, from the produce that you make, let's split 50-50, let's split one-third, two-thirds, whatever the deal is. So he doesn't go down, the sharecropper goes down. What's the halacha? Mahu. Adaita de Baal nachis, istalik le Baal istalik le, who? So on the das of the husband going down, if the husband's not there, then the husband's not there. Let's see what Rashi in a second. Odilma, adaita da arinachis varad kikaima la arisa kaima. Where it's all about the land, and the land is being worked by the sharecropper. So let's understand this a little bit. Rashi says four medium wide lines down. Shehorid arisin, benichse isha lito mechsa o shlish vamad vegirsha mishachal kima. So the sharecropper goes down. And he's working the land, and the sharecropper, who has now rights for the fruit, seemingly, because the husband has the rights to the fruit and passed it on to the sharecropper. The sharecropper eats. Sounds like the husband never eats, though. Mahu Rashi explains, Shigitlu ha'arisin kefish shvachim. Does the sharecropper now have the right to claim the hotza? Uh-huh. Ah, I see. The husband, rather. The husband ate from the fruit. So the husband now has no claim anymore because he ate. He can't say, I put a chotzah in, because once you have a little kima, you're done. But does the sharecropper have a taina now? Can he say, wait a second, I put all this chotzah in now. I should be able to collect the chotzah up until the shvach that was generated from this. So let's just read one more two more Rashi's. Adai te deval nachis. Hu hechnisam v'lo hi. He brought them in and not her. Since the husband brought in the sharecropper into the property, not her, she never agreed to this. So once the husband's kicked out, so to the sharecropper gets kicked out, and the sharecropper has no chelik in this. He has no taina. Or do we say, next Rashi, la'aris kaima, im lo haridim habal ha'isa hi marida l'toch harisim. If the husband hadn't worked the land, she would have made sure to have a sharecropper work on her behalf. Even though she didn't actually appoint one, she would have had the husband been a lazy husband. So that's the other taina, that she would also, she's not objective of there to be a sharecropper. So that's the taina. Does the sharecropper now, he benefited her land, does he work as her agent also and get to have collect the hotza he put in? So the Gemara says Maskif La. Interesting that they're asking a question before even giving a solution. But the Gemara doesn't give a solution yet. He says Maskif La. Okay. So okay, the Gemara asks before giving an answer, Maskif La Rava by Rav Chanan Maishna, why is this any different? Mehayori Latoch Sodech Haveiro Venotish Lo Bershus. Let's say I go to now Harry has a field. I go down to Harry's field and I plant without asking him. What's the halacha? Shamin lo, I value, I guess, how much hotza I put in. The yado al hatachtona, and his hand is has a lower hand. He, let's see, what's that talking about? Look at Rashi now, around 6-7 lines up from the bottom. Shamin lo v'yado al tachtona. His hand is in the tachtona. The worker, I went to his house with this farmer without asking him. Lita yitzir kishir shevach kedamar b'bab mitzir b'ashoel. Hacha my baylis luke bloklum. So when it comes to going down to Harry's property without asking him, I at least get the chotzah. I benefited his land. He didn't ask me to, but he would have wanted me to do it anyways. But we never had a deal, so I get to at least collect the chotzah, if, you know, as long as up until the shevach. So why by here, the sharecropper goes into the wife's field without reshuth, he should also be able to collect the, at least the chotzah that he put in. Why is there a tzad to say that he should get nothing? Yeah.
No,
but
he
they went with permission.
With the case of the husband,
yeah.
But that was permission of the husband. The Karen is really her. So you're saying it's adding on to it.
Yeah.
So there's at least partial permission from the husband. So if, even more so, he should be able to collect otza. Yeah.
Yedo atachtona means the he gets the lower of his itzia or the shvach.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah. So the Gemara says, so why is it different? Why are we even entertaining the possibility that the sharecropper, by the case of the husband, should get nothing? The Gemara says the difference is as follows. Hasam, by the case of the sharecropper, there, lek inish detarach, there there's nobody to work at all. Rashi says, lek leman detarach, ra zeh shelo haya ish mashbichan. The guy's his neighbor. The guy's not doing work in his land. It's being overgrown. The Yar Lehen, who might have said that, I helped him out. He had the whole beautiful farm, and he was doing nothing, so I helped him out. Hokach, yitzia shir shvach mi'as yihavle. At least give me some of the effort I put in to help you out. But hacha, ikabal, the tarach, my havala. But by the case of the wife, she has a husband who is very capable of working. There's no need for a third person, a sharecropper, to go down and work the land. So that's why there's a tzad to say that maybe the sharecropper should have nothing. It's not a yoreh, the tochsadeh below Yishus, and no one else to take care of it. There is a husband to take care of it. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, breder of Yeshua, chazinan. Let's see. Ibal arisu istalik lebal istalik lehu. If the Baal was a man of the land, of the farm, he knows how to work it. So yes, she has someone who could have worked the land, and he wasn't doing it. But she was sitting back because she expected her husband, who was the expert Aris, to take care of it. So then this other Aris, the third person, has no taina on this. It's not it's not like a land sitting fallow with nobody working. But if the Baal wasn't an expert at all in farming, then who are laris kaima? Then the land is something that any farm requires a reason. And then this third party does have such a taina, because had your husband, he could say to her, had your husband not hired aris, you would have hired aris, so let me at least get my hotz up. And that's how the Gemara concludes. Going now further to another tashai, the ibailhu bal shemacha karkal peros mau. Now, by nechse melug, we've been saying, we should know by now, nechse melug, the kinin guf is to the wife, and the kinin peres goes to the husband. Now, the husband doesn't want to eat the fruit. He rather wants to sell off the fruit and make some cash. So he says, I'm going to sell you the fruit from the year. Pay me $1,000. The fruit is all yours. So what's halacha? Mahu? What do we say in this case? Mi amrinan, mai dekani le akne. Do we say he has the right to sell this? It's his fruit. It's a kinin peros. He could sell it off to somebody else. Oh, Dilma, kita kinile rabbanan peros lebal. The only time that the rabbanan gave the peros to the husband was only because mishim ravach besa. And Rashi explains the top line of peyamabez, mishim ravach besa, she yachnis a peros lebesa vihe mazan babais matziv yatavla. The only reason why is not as a hanah for him, but as hanah for her, that now the husband, we expect the husband to be somewhat of an expert in the farmland, or at least take control of the farm, and have someone else work it, to bring more fruit and produce into the house. But once he's selling it off, she's not getting any of that hanah of Rav Chabesa anymore. So again, the shaila is it what a special zechus he has, and he has full rights to it, to sell it off, or is it zechus he had in order to benefit her? By selling it off, she would no longer get benefit anymore, so the husband therefore has no rights to sell off these peros. So, aval lizvune, the continuing of this side, aval lizvune lo, but he has no right to sell it. So what's the answer? Yehudamar bar miremar, mishmei derava amar, masha asa asa. If he sells it off, it's a good sale. Rapapa amar, mishmei derava lo asa lukum. Rapapa argues and says it's not a good sale. So amar Rapapa continues to say, hadi Yehudamar bar miremar, that which you quoted the other opinion, Yehuda, to say that one is allowed to sell it, La beferj itmar. He never explicitly said that to be true. Ella michlol itmar. It was inferred from a story that happened. What was the inference? There was once a woman, the Aili le legavre tarta amas. A woman got married to a man, and she brought with him, she was from a wealthy family, she brought two shvachos with her. She had two maidservants to help her around the house. Now this guy, Azal Gavra, Nasiv Issachris, he'd married another woman. He had two wives now. What'd he do? Ayol leichada minayu. He took one of the other maidservants from his first wife, who he's still married to, and took one of them to give to his other wife. This way, each wife has a maidservant. Also, the kaima de Rava. And the first wife went over to Rava. Tzavcha started screaming, what in the world is my husband doing? Taking my second shifcha away from me. I brought him in, not her. Let alone, it's not enough that he brought a tzara into this another wife, but to take my shifcha also away. Lo ashkechbo. So Rava didn't respond here. So Mandachaze, one who observed this, Mandachaze saver mishum de saver masha asa asay. So the one who saw this happening, why Rava was quiet, because he says you have nothing to say. He has full rights to this, and he's allowed to sell the peros. The shivcha is considered peros, so he could sell and give away his shivcha because it's his right, and that's why he said go away to her. But Velohi, that's not true. Mishum ravach besa v'ha karavach. The reason why he cannot sell, the reason why he gets peros in the first place is in order to bring more produce into the house. And you're not allowed to sell it outside the house because he loses the peros. But here, this is staying within the same house. He has two wives under the same roof. So the shifcha, each one having a shifcha, will just create better harmony and more produce and more production in the house. So she still will be benefiting from this second shifcha. Even though it's not working directly for her, it's working within the household, and that will suffice. So in the end of the day, normally speaking, one cannot sell it off. Lo asavil kumi paskin, one cannot. But this is a special situation whereby even though it's being given away, it's still benefiting the household that she lives in. Hilchza, what's the bottom line? Baal shemacha karka peros, lo asavil kumi, like we just said. If a husband sells off the rights to the fruit of the nichsim lug, it's not a good sale. My timer though. What's the reason why it's not? Why can't he sell it off? Abai amar chayshinan shema tachsif. Because he sells it off, so he's not going to, the person who bought it now, is not going to work the land so much. The guy who bought it from the husband is going to say, I'll eat the fruit for this year. But who knows, the husband may divorce his wife, and I'm going to lose out on this whole property. It's not worth my effort to put in, to invest time and effort into this property, because I may lose it. Because it's still, the title always goes back to the wife. And if they get divorced, I'm going to lose it. And Rava says, Amar Mishum Rava Besa, the reason why you cannot sell the peros of the property, as we said before, is because the only reason why the husband gets the peros is in order to benefit her household that she lives in. But by selling to another person, she loses the Rava Besa, and therefore it's not a good sale. So again, is it either because the lokeach is going to ignore the property, or is it because she loses out on Rava Besa? My benai, what's the nafkamina between these two reasons? So there are going to be three of them. One reason is avra de mekarv lemasam. If let's say the land is next to the city, the land that the nichsim alug is next to the city, and the husband sells it off, that would be allowed if it's about the lokeach ruining the property, because the baal and the isha could always see what's going on and say, wait a second, stop ignoring my property, take care of it. You have to take care of what's needed. But if it's because of the Ravach Besa, so even if the land is next to the city, she's not going to be seeing the fruits of this land, and it won't be Ravach Besa, so you won't be able to sell it. Nafkamina 2, Inami, Baal Arisu. If the Baal himself is an Aris, he was an expert farmer, so then is he allowed to sell it off? So this also is a Nafkamina. Why? If it's because of Ravach Besa, so then, no, if he's an Aris, I think, of the guy he sold it for, right? Rashi says, Inami bal arisu, klomar shenosin lelokeach peros mizumanim. If he gives a set amount to the lokeach, so here, I guess some peros will be going in to the back to him. Let's see, how do they explain this nafkamina?
Husband is in charge, and he's just giving this other guy some kind of a percentage, like an artist would get.
Mm-hmm. And then, how would this work out with the two reasons, though?
Well, since the husband's in charge, then you don't have to worry that he's gonna not keep up the field. So Abai would say that's okay.
Aha.
He's not getting the fruit, but he's what, managing it?
He's managing it, yeah.
So he's not getting, but he's not getting any fruit.
He's getting some fruit, but not the amount that he would have otherwise gotten.
He's getting some. There's Rav Chabesa.
But I guess not.
But the Shifcha, there's Rav Chabesa. He can get any benefit.
Uh-huh.
It's not Salam. Sounds like he got, it's like almost like he got his lump sum of money to sell it. Part of that sale is he said, I will manage it, and I don't get any fruit, but I manage it.
Uh-huh.
It's part of my sum that I get.
Right. I mean, I'll buy you out. You stay on as the manager, overseeing everything. But your buyout is I give you a nice package that's up front. You get the money, but you still work it. Okay? So he's not receiving any. We have to assume he doesn't receive any fruit then, I guess. Is that what it's saying there?
It says the husband would, parentheses, for a sharecropper's percentage of the produce.
Uh-huh. So he's getting something.
Supply the buyer with harvested produce. So it sounds like he's getting something.
Uh-huh.
That's
a good question. The footnote says there are others who say it's the opposite, that he does get Ravach Beso because he's getting some percentage, but there is a concern that he might decrease the value of it, because it doesn't say why, but maybe since he's not getting 100% of it, so then he may not put the amount of effort ahead as he otherwise would have. Okay, it seems to be this is a very big discussion based on these reasons that you're saying. There's a discussion in the Rishonim. The third nafkamina is inami zuzei v'kavod behu iski, or the money that he receives from selling it off, if he decides to do schora and invest it to make other money. So there Rashi explains in that situation, since he's investing in some good return, she's going to have ravach besa. But if it's about dealing with the land, so then the land, which is hers, he's not going to be able to deal with the land. The lokeach may not pay attention to it as well. Okay.
It became very difficult the last few pages.
Yeah, this part of Ksubis. Yeah, no, this part of Ksubis till the end, is pretty challenging. Yeah.
To the end.
So, yeah. No, you fight through it.
Especially if you don't ask.
Yeah, fight through it. I'm telling you, very, very challenging.
30 blocks.
The last 10.
Then it gets easier.
The last slot you'll like. The last few pages about Eretz Yisrael you'll really enjoy. But until then, it there's some good agata also, which we should begin to.
Used to be agata a few pages, like a week, 2 weeks ago.
We'll get to. I think Kuv Beis or so is a famous agata. We'll see. But that's in a long time from now.
The concept is hard to understand too. You know?
It is very technical. Okay, let's try to get to this mission at least before the time is up. We have 10 minutes. The Mishnah says Shomer's Yavam. So we should know very well what a Shomer's Yavam is. That a woman whose husband dies and she's waiting for her brother-in-law to take action, either Yibum or Chalitza. Shenafala Nechasim. And during this period of being a Shomer's Yavam, some Yerusha came to her. So what's Halacha? Modim Beishame Beisil al Shomer Cheres V'Nosenes V'Kaim. Everybody agrees, even though Beisham and Beisil argued about back that other Mishnah about being Arusa, Nisun, before Arusin, before Nisun, all those different cases. Here they both agree that she could sell and give away as she pleases. V'kayim, and it's a good sale. Mesa, but let's say she dies now. Ma Yasa. B'ksuvasa v'nechasim v'nechasim v'yotsim. What happens to all her property? She's somewhat attached to the brother-in-law, but she's somewhat independent to her own family, where she comes from. So Beishami omrim yechalku yorshe balim yorshav. Her inheritors from her father, meaning her father's family, her own family, the way she came from, and the Yerushim of the husband split because there's it's somewhere in the middle. It's unclear who has full rishus. So Beis Shammai says everybody splits down the middle. And there's a Rashi refers to the Gemara in Baba Basra, which talks about it's somewhat complicated. This machlok is exactly whose chazak gets in, her property, meaning the nichse malug. I think it's referring to that are in her title, but the husband had paris to it. Now they're being passed over to the Yavam, potentially. So it doesn't tell us who has a chazaka, but that's discussed in Baba Basra. Uksuva, b'cheskas yorshe habal, the ksuva, which is in the possession of the husband, so the husband's family gets to keep the ksuva. Nechasim ha-nechnasim ha-yotzim, which refers to, I think, maybe that's nechsei malug? Kashi is next to Malug. So maybe the first case was the Tom Barzel. Yeah, the first case was the Tom Barzel. So that's a discussion who has ownership to that. That's discussed in Baba Basra. The Nechnasim, because Tom Barzel goes to the husband. The husband has title of the Tom Barzel. That's why it's unclear who gets the Yorshe Bala Yorshe Ha Isha. But Nechnasim Ha Yotzim. Nechasim ha nechnasim vayotzim, which is nechse malug, which are her title, that ima that goes to her b'ches es yorsha'av, that goes to her family when she dies.
When we say a baal, we're talking about the first baal or second?
The first, well, both. I mean that's family.
That family,
yeah.
But it's not. There is an afkamina whether it goes to the first husband who's dead, and then. The Yerusha goes through him or goes through the Yavam. Because if it goes to the second husband, then it could theoretically stay in his sons or whatever. If it goes to the first one, then it could split amongst brothers.
That is true. Let's see. How do they define Yerusha?
Baal to me sounds like her first husband.
Right. So some Rishonim say Yerusha Baal refers to the Yavam himself. Others say it refers to the brothers equally. So that's exactly what you're talking about. That's a Beis Shmuel. So that's apparently Machlokas. How to define Yerusha Baal. Then the Gemara says, Haniach, right, Haniach, Ochiv Mos. Let's say the first brother, the first husband, leaves behind money. So what do you do with it? So yukach behen karka v'hu ochel peros. So you have to, I guess, talk about a case where they got married and they performed yibum. So you take that money from the first baal, and she buys karka with it, and the second husband, the yavam, will eat the fruit from that karka. Peros hatulushim, this reminds you of the other Mishnah. If he left behind some detached fruit, minakarka, yukach bem karka, that's viewed as money as well, by property, v'hu ocha peros, and the yavam will eat the peros. Hamichubar makarka, if the fruit are still attached to the ground, amir Rabbi Meir, shaman also kamahin yafin beperos, kamahin yafin below peros, hamosi yukach bem karka, v'hu ocha peros. So the thing we said before, that you have to assess the value with the fruit, without the fruit, that difference is being used to buy another piece of land, and then the yavam will eat from the fruit of that new land. And Chachamim Omrim, Peres HaMechubarim Bekarka Shalom. Any fruit attached to the ground is going to be the Yavams. When they get married, the Yibam, he gets to eat those fruit. That's considered Peros HaAretz. Even though they didn't grow, we saw this the other day, even though it didn't grow while under the Rishus of the Yavam, he still has rights to the fruit that are attached to the ground. HaTlushin, however, those that are detached from the ground, Minakarka, Kolakodim Zachabem. This differs from the previous mission. I imagine the Gemara will address this maybe. Kolakodim Zachabem doesn't mean anybody in the world, but it means it's Kodim who, if the Yavam gets them first, Zacha, Kadmihi, Yuk, but if she gets them first, so then Yukachvem Karka, so she gets to buy land with it, so her land will be hers. Behu Ocha Peros, and then Yavam will go ahead and eat the fruit from that new property.
This is talking about where she's trying to collect from the old husband's estate, her ksuba. In other words, it's not like a Yerusha that fell to her that had these characteristics. It's the property she's trying to collect from her first husband's house for the ksuba that has each of these characteristics.
Right, so that's what Rashi says. Okay. Not Yerusha. Because Yerusha really is going to the Yavam is going to get the Yerusha. That's what the Pasuk says.
But that's why it would be different by the case of Metaltalin, because by the case in the last Mishnah where it's Metaltalin is Yerusha, no one disputes the fact she gets it, and the question is, what does this other guy have benefit in that?
Mm-hmm.
But here, it first has to somehow go to her ksuba. So if it's karka, or if it's peres or mechubel karka, it's all those other things. Okay, so it went to her, and then you could have a discussion about how it got to goes to him. But if it's just metaltalin, then she may not have any koach to actually get the metaltalin.
Because that's not ksuba.
Or not meshubah, the ksuba.
Uh-huh.
So that's why they fall into this like no man's zone. She's owed a ksuba, but she can't get from metaltalin. It's not a shabbat.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, then the Mishnah says, Kansa, if they get married, Harei hi ki ishe l'chadavar, Bavad should take suvasa al nichsei bayil harishon. So once they get married, the Shemeres Yavam and the Yavam, they finally perform Yibam, then she becomes a full-fledged wife, and with respect to everything except the ksuba is still going to be continued from the first husband, like we've seen this before. Lo yomar la, he should not say to her, Harei ksuvaseich munechas al shulchan, that your ksuba is placed on the table. Ela kol nechasav achvarin l'chsuvasa. Don't be miyached a particular land or property to be the point of collection for the ksuba. Rather, all the properties of the, I guess, first husband are lien for the collecting of the ksuba if they were to get divorced from the second husband. V'chein, so too, lo yomar adam lisho, in general, a person shouldn't say to his wife, harei ksuvaseich munechas al shulchan, ela kol nechasav achvarin l'chsuvasa. You cannot be miyached. You cannot miyached at all ksuba land for ksuba. All the properties there's a lien on. Girsha, let's say they divorce. Ein la ela ksuva. Her only claim is the ksuva. If the Yavam and Yavam get divorced, it's only after they get married. The only claim Rashi says ein la ela ksuva aval kozman shlo girsha hayu kol nechasim mishubadim lav ein rasha limchor. So she has a lien on all the properties. He can't sell them. But after they get divorced, then he pays her off the ksuva, and then the full rights go back to the Yavam. The Gemara, I think, is going to address all these points. And finally, Hechzira, if they remarry, Machzir Grushaso, Harehi Kichol Nashim, Vein La Ela Ksuva Bivad. Then he's like all other women, and her only point is ksuva. Rashi says last Rashi in the Mishnah, Harehu Kichol Nashim, the Tanab Pirkin, the Lakaman Hamagarsh Isha Vechzira Amnas Ksuva Harishana Hechzira, Vigmar Parach Lamal Lishmin Biyavama. Okay, apparently this is a halacha by all cases of women. It's a bit confusing, but I'm hoping the Gemara is going to explain.
And that wouldn't work by a case of Yavam, right? Because that's Isha Sa'ah. You're not allowed to be Machzir her once you. Are you allowed to be Machzir?
I think once you marry them,